Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, the Lord Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers. Text 15. Naham vibet yajita te ti bayanakasya. Jivarka netra bru koli ras rava sogra damstra. Anyatra sraja shataja keshara shanku karnan. Niridya bita digi vad ari biti nakaragrat. Real tongue twisters.
Ra vita diri vad ari bin kagrad.
Gotta say it like that. That's our new tune.
Naham bibeti.
Good. Nah. Do you want to try it also, Radha? Tomorrow. Na, na, aham, I, bibemu, bibemi, am afraid. Ajita, O Supreme Victorious Person, who are never conquered by anyone, te, your, Ati, very much. Bayanaka, fearful. Asya, mouth. Jiva, tongue. Arkanetra, eyes shining like the sun. Brukuti, frowning brows. Rabasa, strong. Ugra damstrat, ferocious teeth. Antra sraja, garland by intestines. Shataja, bloody. Keshara, manes. Shanku karnat, wedge-like ears. Nirada, by a roaring sound caused by you. Bita, frightened. Digibat, from which even the elephants. Aribit, piercing the enemy. Naka agrat, the tips of whose nails. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My Lord, you are never conquered by anyone. I am certainly not afraid of your ferocious mouth and tongue, your eyes bright like the sun, or your frowning eyebrows. I do not fear your sharp, pinching teeth, your garland of intestines, your mane soaked with blood, or your high wedge-like ears. Nor do I fear your tumultuous roaring, which makes elephants flee to distant places, or your nails, which are meant to kill your enemies. Purport. Lord Nrisimhadeva's fierce appearance was certainly most dangerous for the nine devotees, but for Prahlad, such a fearful appearance was not at all disturbing. The lion is very fearsome for other animals, but its cubs are not at all afraid of the lion. The water of the sea is certainly dreadful for all living entities on the land, But within the sea, even the small fish is unafraid. Why? Because the small fish is taking shelter of the big ocean. It is said that although great elephants are taken away by the flooding waters of the river, the small fish swim opposite the current. Therefore, although the Lord sometimes assumes a fierce appearance to kill the discretinis, the devotees worship him. Keshava Drita Hare Narahari Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare. The Lord, the devotee always takes pleasure in worshiping the Lord and glorifying the Lord in any form, either pleasing or fierce. My Lord, you are never conquered by anyone. I am certainly not afraid of your ferocious mouth and tongue, your eyes bright like the sun, or your frowning eyebrows. I do not fear your sharp, pinching teeth, your garland of intestines, your mane soaked with blood, or your high, wedge-like ears. Nor do I fear your tumultuous roaring, which makes elephants flee to distant places, or your nails, which are meant to kill your enemies. The general idea is that Krishna is the same in all his forms. As I said before, just the judge is called Your Honor in the court. He has a certain robes on for a judge. He has a certain activity, such as awarding people according to what they deserve or condemning people to prison or death according to what they deserve. But when the same judge goes home at night, he takes off his robes, and his wife and children bring he takes off his judge's robes, and his wife and children bring him his bathrobe and his slippers, and they call him John. And he plays with his children at home, and etc. Now he's the same person, whether you call him or honor the judge, or whether you call him John, he's the same person. He may look different. He certainly has different activities. It's unlikely in the courtroom he's going to play ball with his son, or he's going to, when he goes home at night, he's going to condemn his son to death. You didn't take out the garbage. We're going to hang you. No, he has certain activities in certain places, according to a certain time, place, and audience. And he has a certain appearance and a certain name, but he's exactly the same person. Now, if his son came to the court, he wouldn't condemn his son to death. He'd probably go in the back and play ball with him. Although he looks like the judge, but the son knows that actually he's my father. And if he goes home and some criminal comes, then he'll call the police. So he looks differently in different places, but he's always the same person, and he may have different activities according to the time, place, and audience. So Prahlad was not at all afraid of Lord Nrisimhadeva because he knew that Krishna is ultimately the most lovable person and that whatever Lord Nrisimhadeva does in his ferocious form is not out of enmity or enviousness. It is actually to help his father. That his father needed a little bit of correction. Prahlad already told him his father. Tatsara manye suryavarya deinam sada sumudvigna diyama satgrahat hidvatma patam griham andakupam varam gato yadarim ashvayeta. He already suggested to his father that he should give up his anxiety. So Lord Nrisimhadeva came and took care of all his anxiety. He was afraid that someone might kill him. So Lord Nrisimhadeva came and killed him, and he wouldn't have to be afraid of anyone killing him because he was dead. Because he didn't die in the sense that the soul, when he took another birth as Ravana, but because he didn't understand who actually Lord Nrisimhadeva was, he thought he was just a very powerful living entity. Therefore, he didn't get liberation. Instead, he took birth in a very opulent position as Ravana. And when Lord Ramachandra came and killed him again, he still didn't understand who Lord Ramachandra was. And therefore he had to take birth again as Shishupal. And still, as Shishubala, he didn't understand who Krishna was. He was just as envious of Krishna as he was as Hiranyakashipu or Ravana. But this time, when Krishna cut off his head, he thought, I didn't think I needed a shave, but I need such a clean shave. Therefore, I think he thought after three times, well, I think this person's a little bit special. And therefore, he took birth as Jagai and Madhai. So they didn't understand who Lord Nityananda was, but they were getting the lesson gradually. They weren't envious of Lord Nityananda, really, at least not Madhai. Who was it that hit? Madhai hit and then Jagai. Anyhow, in that birth, they actually got liberation. They became pure devotees. In any case, Krishna is always kind to his devotee. He's kind to everyone. What's that? Some living entity? He found a mouse who was sleeping and woke it up. Stay awake for the class. It's your only chance. So, Lord Nrisimhadeva is always kind to all his devotees, and he's kind to everyone. But for the non-devotee, he has to slap the non-devotee to wake him up. But the non-devotees don't understand it. They think God is envious of them, is being unkind to them. Just like there are three deities, principal deities, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. Now, when Vrikasura went to Narada Muni, asked him who I can get a benediction from. Narada Muni didn't suggest Vishnu. He suggested Lord Shiva, because Lord Shiva is Ashutosh, which means that Lord Shiva doesn't really care very much about his devotees, so-called devotees, because he knows they're really not devotees. Instead, when they come for a benediction, he just gives them a benediction to get rid of them. He doesn't want to be bothered with them. Narada Muni suggested to Vrikasura, you go and pray to Shiva, because he'll give you what you want. But if you go to Brahma, and especially Lord Vishnu, he won't give you what you want, because he's interested actually in your benefit. So if it's not good for you, he won't give it to you. Especially if it's going to cause you to request the same benediction again and again and again. Therefore, he took shelter of Lord Shiva. He got the benediction that whosoever head he could touch, he could crack into thousands of pieces. He tried to touch Lord Shiva's head so he could steal Parvati. Lord Shiva fled throughout the whole universe. Finally, Vrikasura caught up with him, but Lord Vishnu interfered and tricked Vrikasura into touching his own head, and it cracked into thousands of pieces. So the benediction given by Lord Shiva ultimately caused Vrikasura's downfall. But Krishna would not give such a benediction. He gave Dhruva Maharaj one a benediction of getting a kingdom greater than that of his great-grandfather, Lord Brahma, and Krishna gave him that benediction, but it was a spiritual planet. There are no planets. Of course, he could have given him another universe, but which is greater than Lord Brahma's universe. But instead, he gave him a Vaikuntha planet, Dhruva Loka, pole star. So Krishna is always kind, and the demons don't understand that when Krishna slaps the demon, it is actually to wake him up. It is said in the Bhagavatam, the 10th canto, that Krishna saw his maidservant is sleeping, and therefore he wanted to have some pastimes with his maidservant, so he was shaking her to wake her up. But the demons, they think the shaking is actually God's being unkind to them. But he's actually shaking the demon up to wake him up, so he can actually enjoy spiritual pastimes. But the demons, generally, they're awake, but they're pretending to be asleep. Therefore, Krishna has a very hard time waking them up. If someone's asleep, shake them, they'll wake up, hopefully. But if someone's actually awake, but pretending to be asleep, Doesn't matter how much you shake them, they'll never get up. So in the material world, even those who have knowledge about Krishna, sometimes they just pretend that they're sleeping. So Krishna will never wake them up. That's the last thing they want, is to find out that there's no possibility they can become God eventually. So Hiranyakashipu, he had this idea that he had become God, but obviously he was a little disturbed because he was drinking heavily. He was a heavy drinker. He became, I guess, an alcoholic. He was the first alcoholic in the history of the universe. He was the first child abuser. And he was probably the first one to die from an acute attack of the stomach ache. He really had a stomach problem at the end there. So he was the first of many things. But he was the first to get purely Krishna's mercy in the form of being ripped apart. So any illusion about his being the supreme should have been eliminated at that time, but he was quite stubborn. But that was also Krishna's arrangement, because he had to take three births, so that was the first one. Otherwise, if he would have been liberated, it would have nullified the curse of the four Kumaras, and Krishna doesn't do that. In any case, Prahlad saw the loving Supreme Personality of Godhead, that whatever Nrisimhadev did was to please Prahlad, to Benedict Prahlad, and actually Benedict the demigods. Krishna is not angry at anyone, but if someone is angry and menacing his devotees, then he becomes angry for the benefit of even the demon. Because unless Krishna became angry, the demon wouldn't be benedicted with being killed by Krishna. So Krishna, Lord Nrisimhadev, came, killed Hiranyakashipu to please the demigods and to protect Prahlad, to show his loving affection for Prahlad Maharaj. And it's very good, because also at the same time, we can think about these pastimes of Lord Nrisimhadev, and we'll also be protected. It's not that we think about this pastime, we get all afraid, maybe he's going to come and kill me too. Because if we become like Hiranyakashipu, maybe we'll get that benediction. But we can think about Krishna in this form of Nrisimhadev as our protector, as he was with Prahlad Maharaj, and become free from fear of not only the material existence, but all the demons in the material existence who are constantly harassing the devotees. Of course, that doesn't mean that necessarily Lord Nrisimhadev is going to protect us from old age, disease, and death, in the form of making sure our body doesn't grow old or become diseased or die. But he'll protect our consciousness if we think about him. We listen to his roar and how the demons are afraid of it, but the sound of Krishna's roar is actually transcendental. And anything he touches, because he was very intimately connected with Jaya and Vijaya in the spiritual world as his doorkeepers, therefore he didn't mind wearing his intestines around his neck, because it was actually an offering from his devotee. And generally people don't like to get soaked with blood, but this is the blood of his devotees, so Krishna actually was ecstatic being covered with the blood of his devotee. Of course, these are all Krishna's energies also. It's not that, you know, Krishna, this is really disgusting. No, it's all Krishna's energy, so Krishna doesn't have the same kind of mentality we have towards these things. It's all Krishna's arrangements. Besides that, if Krishna, you know, daintily took out his intestines and put them aside, you think, well, what kind of lion is this? Someone's attacking us and Krishna daintily comes and says, oh no, please, he's my devotee, please don't hurt him. No, Krishna. Krishna showed his fierce form and how he became so angry he ripped the demon apart. And that gives us confidence that if we actually become a devotee of Krishna, Krishna will protect us in the same way. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Anyone want to take the side of Hiranyakashipu and complain? As I said, that court case, you remember that court case in California, where we were being sued by one family because the devotees had this girl, actually a young lady, she was trying to escape from her parents, and they were hiding in her temple, and her father, for one reason or another, had a heart attack. And so they were suing the devotees for inflicting harm on the family by kidnapping their daughter, so-called kidnapping. So the court was a civil case, and there was one of our GBCs on the Ramaswar Guru was on the stand, and they brought in a picture of Nrisimhadev with Prahlad, the famous picture of Prahlad offering a garland, and Nrisimhadev ripping apart Hiranyakashipu. And they said, "Who is this person? Who is this? Is this your god? This Nrisimhadev, half man, half lion. Is that your god? And who is this person he's ripping apart, Hiranyakashipu? And who's this little boy? What is his relation with the person that your god is ripping apart? Oh, he's his son. Why is he offering the killer of his father a garland? He must be brainwashed. Is this your philosophy? You brainwash little children, and while your god rips their father apart, the little child offers your god a garland. What kind of religion do you have?" So this is due to people's misunderstanding. Obviously, you can't give a whole philosophical class in the middle of a court case. Explain. In any case, that part of the lawsuit was kicked out. It's considered an offense. Yes?
Hare Krishna. Mahashya mentioned that the Lord has many forms according to different activities and moods. And in Bihar Bhaktamrita it mentioned that, if I remember correctly or understood correctly, that usually jivas have specific relationship with one form of the Lord, but can be also upgraded to for example, if it's something with Vaikuntha, they also can upgrade to Goloka. What is the role of the Lord Nrisimhadev in our case, because we have Lord Chaitanya and the destination of those who chant Mahamantra in our Sampradaya goes to Goloka? How that works?
Depends on what our eternal rasa with Krishna is. Now, one goes to Vaikuntha like Gop Kumar, but his rasa was a coward boy. He didn't feel very much in place there. And therefore, he was given instructions how to go further from Vaikuntha. But those in Vaikuntha who actually have an eternal rasa with Krishna, in a particular mood, it's like when Gop Kumar went to Vaikuntha, he saw that there were devotees who looked like Lord Nrisimhadev, who looked like Varaha, who looked like Brahma or Indra, because sometimes Brahma and Indra become, Krishna incarnates in those forms. So they eternally have that form, because they're devotees in that form. But if you have a particular rasa, as I said, but you're in Vaikuntha, but you don't fit into the particular rasa, any rasa there, then you may be elevated by good instruction, like from Narada Muni, how to get to Goloka Vrindavan.
So devotees in modern time, in ISKCON and that, what is their destination?
Depends what their rasa is. Just like Vallabha, Anupam, or Murari Gupta, they worship Lord Chaitanya, and undoubtedly they chanted Hare Krishna like everyone else did. But their relationship was with Lord Ramachandra. They couldn't give it up. Although Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested Murari Gupta to chant Hare Krishna and worship Krishna as Kishore Kishori, Radha Krishna. But he couldn't do it. He said, I've sold my head the lotus feet of Lord Ramachandra and I can't give it up. Better I die. Similarly, Anupam was requested by Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami to worship Krishna in the form of Gopa and Krishna, but he couldn't give up his worship of Lord Ramachandra.
But usually we don't have this problem in we our case.
We don't have to worry about having that problem. We have enough problems. We won't find out who we are until we come to the stage of bhava, a very advanced stage. So we don't, even you worship, you know, whoever we may imagine we're worshiping now, we have no idea who we actually are. Usually out of sentiment we get attracted to something.
But that translation which Prabhupada gave for chanting Maha Mantra, that we are like a child, please engage me in the service of the Lord, Radha, that's not how that works.
No, it's Krishna and his energy. So Krishna has, Radha expands herself into so many forms. So when we say Rama, it could be Lord Balaram with his gopi girls, or it could be Lord Ramachandra with Sita and Hanuman and Lakshmi. So it's not
black and white.
What's that?
It's not black and white.
No, it's all right. It's not that at the time of death you remember Lord Ramachandra. What a second. You didn't remember Krishna. You're penalized. You're coming back. No, once we develop an attraction for Lord Ramachandra, if we had that rasa with Lord Ramachandra, we couldn't go anywhere else except for that.
So what is then this Kali Yuga so special regarding that Lord Chaitanya is avatari, not the...
Because he has varieties. He displays all the varieties of relationships. So although Murarigupta realized that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, whoever he's the supreme avatar, he's Krishna himself, but his relationship with Lord Krishna is with Lord Ramachandra. He couldn't give it up. Indeed, according to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Murarigupta was Hanuman himself. There's no question of Hanuman being in Goloka Vrindavan jumping around. No, he has a relation with Lord Ramachandra is his eternal servitor.
So in other Kali Yugas, where Lord Chaitanya is not avatari, what that means? That they just go to Vaikuntha, quote unquote?
Well, generally speaking, you don't have only Radha Krishna worship is, what is it, anarchitam kiram jarat kuruna vyavichara kiram. It only happens once in the day of Brahma that you get that chance.
Although you have maybe other relationship.
Yeah, and the other ones, you know, you can develop it. Matsya, Korma, whatever. We don't know what Matsya and Korma actually look like.
Mm.
You know what they're. Otherwise, people are eternally. They're eternally related to them. Yeah, well, there's endless varieties of incarnations. Like they're compared to the waves in the ocean.
Mm.
And what it's like to actually become conscious of any one of those, we have no idea. We're just imagining. Oh, tortoise! My God. Don't crawl on me. He's not an ordinary tortoise. He's the source of all rasa.
Thank you.
Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.